We are officially recording. And so nice. We have a few newbies. And here's the deal. I have a few pre-written questions, but there's also an opportunity for you guys to ask questions live. I'll start with one of the written ones first. But if you want to ask a question or just put in your two cents, there's a few things you can do. You can just physically raise your hand and I'll kind of take note. Or if you put like your cursor in the box where your picture is, there's three little dots in the upper right-hand corner. And you could say, I think there's a way to raise your hand, even though I think because I'm the facilitator, I can't raise my own hand. But there's a way to do that. Or you can write in the chat box. So there's a few different ways of doing it, saying I have a question. So I'm going to read this question first.
Will you give me my scarf? I'm cold.
Right. Oh, and by the way, we have a sick kid. So if she starts crying,
sick.
One of the two of us will have to go upstairs and attend to our 11-year-old. So that's the dealio. So this is Zen Talk number 49, sweetie.
All right.
One more until we get to 50.
Then what happens?
Then we go to 51 after that.
Nice.
So this is from team member Anita, and she wanted me to read this. She's actually on the call, but she's not on video. And this is from her. She's brand new to Team Zen. So let's all give her a welcome clap-a-rooners.
Welcome, new members.
Welcome, new members. So this is what she wrote. I have two daughters, 13 and 11. I've been struggling so much with their transition to adolescence. There's a lot going on, but mostly I feel completely discouraged with the negativity that seems to be our daily norm. I've always strived to be an informed parent, seeking out books and articles to help support me on my parenting journey. I try to be conscious of all the factors that play into our family dynamics, but lately I've reached a point where I feel pretty hopeless. The girls are mean to each other, rude, physical sometimes, and I particularly have a hard time with my 11-year-old who's always been a spirited kid and challenging us from day one. I need some advice on how to start turning things around in our home. Wonderful question.
Okay.
Probably pretty typical. I'm going to let you start.
Sure. So I think my thoughts would be that when our kids, I don't know if, you know, if Anita's on Facebook, but I posted something yesterday from this man. I'm not sure what his name is. Maybe you can look it up. But basically, he was having a teaching moment about adolescence and about teenagers. And he was saying that when our kids are really little, they look to us, they look up to us. You know, we get to offer them all the insight about the world. And then eventually they look at us and they say, who are you? Mm-hmm. And I don't need you to offer me insight about the world. I want to know who you are. And he kind of made a joke, like, imagine if they, the second they came out, they said, who are you? He's like, we probably wouldn't love them as much. I mean, of course we'd love them, but we wouldn't call the time so magical. My point in telling you that story is that they are going through a time right now, adolescents, where they are just saying, who am I? Who are you? Why does this all matter? What means the most to me? And there is some, to use Brené Brown's word, there's a lot of rumbling going on. It's not, I think that one of the first things we have to do is remember that it's not supposed to be, first of all, they're not supposed to be like they were when they were 10 or 9. Their brain has totally changed. Their hormonal, you know, their chemicals in their body have changed. They are speaking up and speaking out, and they want their needs met and they want to be heard. One of the shifts that I tell parents, especially moms around this time, is stop focusing on the parenting books and just start focusing on relationship. Stop looking for ways to discipline them and consequences and make them afraid, and start focusing on, tell me about you. What's going on with you? What are you feeling? You seem really angry at your sister. It's getting physical. That's scary to me. So let's talk about what's really going on. I think we try and maintain this parenting role where we're like, okay, how do I do the consequences? How do I get them back in their place? And I take my place as a parent. And it's not as if, I'm not saying you're not their parent, but the shift has to be starting with us and how we're treating these experiences, rather than, you know, you're going to go sit in time out. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to make a 13-year-old go sit in time out. It's how can we have a conversation about this? What am I missing? Where is your anger at your sister coming from? We have these conversations. We just had a big one the other night in the kitchen.
Probably our biggest one we've ever had.
At this age.
A spontaneous kind of family meeting because
about anger.
Certain siblings weren't being heard and things like that. And it was
good.
It was good. It was long. Really good. It was tough. I like what you said about forgetting about the books. I'm a seeker, Anita, by the way, which means like I'll always turn to books or podcasts. And I like what Kathy said is, you know, maybe it's time to either take a break or just pull back from, because this is a challenge. I don't want to understate it or undervalue it. But to Kathy's point, when you ask your daughters, like, what's going on with you, what's most important is not what you're asking them, it's how you're asking it. Because our kids have their geniuses at triggering us and making us nuts. Mm-hmm. And if you can do it from a calm demeanor, it will go much better. And it's not an easy thing to do. But focus on the what energy am I bringing to this question, or what energy am I bringing into a room? Because if you're used to being like, you know, these are consequences and control, release control. Because what Kathy's really good at is disarming the situation with her energy. Like, okay, let's take a breath, but she brings to it a sense of calmness and in a time when it's really hard to be calm. So focus on the how. And how do you do that? Practice. It's not an easy thing to do. Take Care is a self-care. Kathy's written 3 books on self-care. This is about trying to fill up your own cup so you have something to give. If you're depleted going into the conversation or confrontation, it's not going to go nearly as well. So whether it be making sure you get your exercise in the morning or getting enough sleep at night or meditating in the morning, put some of that energy towards yourself so you can come in with good intention. And then there was one other thing I was going to say, but I forgot what it was. So you talk.
Well, I want to say, you know how Todd said it, like a few minutes ago, he said, you know, they trigger us and they drive us crazy. They're not trying to do that. They're not waking up in the morning and saying, I'm going to trigger my mom and dad and I'm going to drive them crazy. They're feeling that way inside because they're figuring out what's going on with them, what means the most to them. They're seeing you in a different light because their brain has developed to the point where they see you as a human being. And they're like, what, you know, are you walking the walk of what you tell me? What are your belief systems? And we have to shift with them. We have to, as they're growing, we have to grow as parents, which means it's not just about becoming more patient. It's about, we have to switch gears and stop using what we were using when they were 10. And shift into treating them as being older. You're still the parent, but to try and put consequences in place or come in with a really controlling, they're going to push back, and that's the challenge. And what I'll say is, you know, as Todd said, this big conversation we had a day or two ago in the kitchen. I didn't say all the right things, meaning that there were some moments when I said things that really made my daughter mad. And then I had to pull back and recognize why it made her mad. And then I tried something else. And then I didn't talk for a while. And then, so my point is these conversations with our teens and adolescents, they don't go perfectly. You sometimes say something, you don't know what's going to trigger them. See, because they're just figuring this out themselves. I think the final thing is recognizing your shoulds. Because as parents, we're like, this shouldn't be happening. They shouldn't be fighting. So you go into that, you go into the these conversations with your children or these experiences thinking that there's already something you're doing wrong and that there's something wrong with them. And if instead you go in saying, this is pretty typical, they're challenged emotionally by something, this is something that I have the capability to, it's not about handling them, it's about I can have a conversation with them about this. And it's not always then cut and dry. Like even the conversation we had in the kitchen, we didn't finish like, okay, now let's have a celebration. Everything's over.
Right.
We just heard each other.
Well, and the one thing I did say in that kind of interesting discussion we had in the kitchen was the difference. One thing I was proud of is that we were talking about it, because usually when sometimes things get heated, people want to withdraw, or we actually had that in my childhood that I grew up in, we would never have had this difficult conversation. So I was grateful for that. And then the other two things I want to say is, one is Millie was nice enough to post that teacher that Kathy was referring to as the Indian Goldcast guy.
Yeah.
So I will save this chat and put this in the show notes to this, so you don't have to watch it now. It will be in the notes of this Zen Talk. And then the other thing Millie said was about you. She likes the advice we always talk about, humor.
Yes, humor's huge.
Humor is a very disarming way. And that doesn't mean make fun of your kid. It means bring some levity to the
situation. Make fun of yourself. Like that, that's kind of the, you know, when the girls are like, but you're not understanding me. I'll be like, I know, help me. You know, like I try and be vulnerable without being self-depreciating.
Right.
You know, like they'll say, but you're not hearing me. And I'll be like, I know, I'm not, help me hear you. And so that in itself, it's like the, it's de-escalate. I just heard, I think it was actually, I can't remember who said it, but this is such a good thing. In every conversation you're having, you're either de-escalating the situation or escalating the situation. No matter what conversation you're in with your partner, with your adolescents, with your three-year-old, with your friends, you're either de-escalating, I went the wrong way, meaning the way you're talking, the calmness, the humor is taking it down, or you're getting worked up, angry, all the shoulds are going through your head, I should have control, and you're escalating it. So that's kind of how I, when I'm talking to the girls, sometimes a comment I make escalates it, and I realize I have to de-escalate, you know, it's just back and forth.
You said, Anita, that your 11-year-old has been spirited kid and challenging us from day one. First of all, I totally hear you. Second is just know that this is actually one of her strengths.
Yeah.
This is how she's going to show up in the world as an adult. So you obviously need to set healthy boundaries, but you don't want to squash that part of her personality, because it sounds like this is a girl that's going to make a difference in the world in this way. Like she's just going to show up. So just kind of encourage that. And then Aaron asked, how early, sweetie, can we start this concept with kids? I love the idea of releasing control and asking questions.
Yes.
And fear, and that it won't resonate with our 5- and 4-year-old. Is there a variation?
Absolutely. So I think you can start this right away, Aaron. Like I have to go back a little bit in time with my girls, but I kind of always talked to them in this way. I've always talked to them in a very, like treating them with that respect, like they, and I'm not saying that other people are not treating their kids with respect, but what I'm saying is just assuming that they understand that we have a relationship and that I can ask them questions and that I cannot be so, overriding of what they're doing. I think the only time that I really struggled with this, if I'm going to be honest, is when we had to be places on time. I struggled in the morning getting to school, or if we had an appointment, or if we need to get in the car. Sometimes I was like, we just have to go, you know? I remember those were moments where I'm like, we can't have a long conversation right now. And that would sometimes cause a little bit of, you know, discomfort or some crying, or, you know, there are moments that, you know, if you're about to walk out the door and they're like, I'm really sad about something, it's hard to, sometimes it has to be delayed. But to your point, starting this kind of conversation as early as you can, even when they're 2 or 3, like, you know, saying, tell me what you feel, or what do you notice, or what am I missing? That kind of conversation, if they grow up with that, by the time they're 12 and 13, they know how to do that. They know it's not new. They know that you mean it, and they know that you live it. So early is early the better.
So moving along. So I'm so pleased. We have Judy that wants to ask a question. Jacqueline that wants to ask a question. And Liz wants to ask a question.
Okay.
So we're going to start with Judy from Ottawa. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
My question is, I guess it affects the whole family, but mostly my oldest one. He's 15. And it's about the screen time. And I know all kids around this age use a lot of, like, computer time, but it feels like, and you just talked about the releasing control, and maybe that's one of the issues here, but it feels like I'm either policing all the time and trying to get them off the computer, and or I let go and then I go to the other extreme, and then they take advantage of that, and then it doesn't feel good to me either. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of conversations away from the computer. And so I have 3 kids, and they all seem to understand that too much computer time is not good. But then once they're in front of the screen, they just can't let go.
Yeah.
And then also, especially with my 15-year-old, it seems like he's not meeting his goals. Like he has exams this week, and he's hardly studying because he's in front of the computer. And as I said, like, we had discussions, we talk about studying first and then maybe having a little bit of computer time as a reward. And he agrees, and then as soon as he's home, he's in front of the computer and he doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. Putting timer or like any of these things, like he's just sucked in and he doesn't let go once he's there.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm going to mute you, Judy. This is a wonderful question. One that I think most, if not all parents struggle with, whether your son is a gamer or a kid's like Netflix and YouTube, this is a tough subject. It's a tricky balance. And that's a thing. And you're already kind of stating is like, if I just kind of let them do what they want, I feel like crap and that's no good. But if I like have control of everything, then they're going to resist and it's going to get worse. So there is no right answer. That's the first thing I want to say. Have a little bit of empathy in that these games are designed to be addictive. And I don't say that to scare you. It's just the God's honest truth of what these games are. This might seem small, and tell me if you think this is even a good idea. How you interrupt him is important. Like if you interrupt him and he's been doing a Fortnite game that takes 20 minutes and you're like, you know what, we have to stop right this moment, that is devastating. It sounds like it's just a game, but it's more than a game to these young men. So I would become familiar with whatever games he's playing. I'm sorry, girls. What games is he playing? I'm just curious.
He's playing games, but he's also programming a lot, but there's always a problem that he has to solve when he's programming. So it's not that he's doing bad things on the computer, it's just the time that he spent there.
Ooh, and interesting.
I know how addictive it is. So.
Well, and just to kind of tell you, I don't know what your relationship is with screens, Judy, but on Sunday it was the NFL championship, and I watched both games, and then I watched this Dirty John documentary thing after.
Has anyone seen Dirty John or listened to the podcast?
It's a kind of a crazy, weird story. But anyways, so I was in front of the screen on Sunday, and this is an exception. I rarely spend that much, but I was in front of a screen for like 10 hours on Sunday. So one is, you know, have a little bit of perspective on what happens with that. And then, you know, this is going to sound really radical, but I'm just going to throw it out to you just for the heck of it. And John Duffy shared this with our audience at the...
But just so you know, she's not really talking about games. She's talking about like programming and stuff like that.
Is it games, programming, or both?
Mostly programming. Okay. Sometimes games.
And is the programming, is it like productive? Is it for school? Or I don't even know what that means.
So he's pretty smart. He comes up with he's learning AI on his own and... training the computer to do to learn music in Mozart style or write a novel based on whatever novel he picks. It's not for school. He comes up with his own projects, but it's
wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's why it's different. So
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so what I was going to say about this, Judy, is most likely. When you said programming, I think about Debbie Reber's son. Because he also does thing, you know, Debbie Reber, who wrote Differently Wired, not because your sons are the same, but because her son also feels very connected to that creative and that development. And it's like that balance. It's very different than going in and watching a Netflix show. I'm actually creating, I'm actually using my brain, my neurons are actually firing, but I'm not doing the homework that I'm supposed to get done. I'm doing something different. So there still needs to be some boundaries around it, but your language around it can be totally different. You can say to him, I have a feeling this is going to be your path in life. And I am going to support you in having that creative outlet especially if he's like creating things on his own. Like that's amazing.
Yeah, you want to nurture it.
And we can sit here and say, but I'd much rather him, you know, you're not saying this, Judy, but you know, I want him to crochet or knit or do something.
Or
with
I want him
hands.
To get a B instead of a C
right.
in school or something like that.
And you know, a lot of times we want them to do kind of what we did, or we're like, I want them to get away from screens, but screens are our future. Mm-hmm. If, for better or worse, it's most likely your son's going to have a job in this area. But the balance is what you're going to teach him about is not good, bad, but both are good. But let's come up with a plan so you get your homework done. And then you can do this as, you know, within reason for, you know, how many hours we agree upon. Like, I almost feel like you got to pull back from it. Just to have the conversation with him. When I mean pull back, I mean like right now it's kind of going, it's like a train just going forward where you're like, I don't know what to do with this. And a conversation needs to be had with him where you say all this, where you say, listen, I so appreciate what you're doing on the computer. I see you using all of this, these creative impulses. I see how extraordinarily brilliant you are at this. I see it. And I want you to know that. At the same time, we got to play the game of school. So you have to do your homework and finish this because that's part of being responsible. And then once that's done, this can be your joy and this can be your creative outlet. So I know it may sound like, well, yeah, but what will that do? Even changing the language around that, it's not like you're, because I wouldn't lump that in with screen time.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. When I first thought of gaming,
yeah,
I would approach this differently. If you were saying my kid's playing Fortnite 8 hours a day on the weekends,
that's
be like, that's different. But he, like, this is, I'm just thinking of a, you know, I don't know your son, but this, to Kathy's point, this might be him laying the groundwork for the rest
career.
Of his life. I would nurture this more than if I found out he was playing Fortnite 8 hours a day.
And even if it isn't, like, say this is his hobby, it's still something that is nurturing his creativity. And it's just done through a computer screen. Now, the things I say to my girls that you can maybe say also is he also needs to, I always say to them when they've been on a screen for a long time, even if it's homework, like my my daughter who's in high school, sometimes she's on her computer for hours just either reading or writing, is I'll say, you gotta like give your eyes a break. You gotta like not back away because it's our rules, but do it for yourself. Like go take a shower, go like get away from the screen and give your brain a break, because the screen does affect your eyes and your, you know, your ability to pay attention. So you can teach him about that without being scolding. Like it's not a, these are our rules. It's let me just matter of factly. And that's how I say it to my girls. I'll be like, Jace, take a break, give your eyes a break. And I do the same thing. I'm on my computer all day too. Todd's definitely on his computer most, not, I mean, we both are. And so we have to kind of demonstrate how we do that. So it's really about a shift of how you perceive what he's doing. And then also coming to an agreement with him about what he thinks is fair and responsible.
Yeah. Instead of you dropping the hammer, go into it like not a negotiation, but like, let's come up with this together.
So
I'm going to unmute you because I'm sure you have questions or comments. Go ahead.
It's just that we had a lot of these conversations and he, and I do support, like we both do, like we know how special it is what he does and what he found, but it's, so he agrees that he, it's, that he's not meeting his goals. That's one thing. Like he wants to get better marks in school and he knows it. When we have a conversation, he knows it. It's just once he's in front of the computer, he cannot stop.
Boy.
And the other is family time. It's like, it seems like we have to get out of the house to have any family time. When we are at home, it's just a computer. So it's not that we don't support him. It's just that to find the balance to do other things as well that are important.
Yes. And you know, that's that. And again, like you said, you've already had this conversation with him a number of times. And you'll probably have to continue to have it as he goes into his teenage years, because it's going to change the older he gets, not necessarily for the worse, but it's going to change. And you'll have to say, okay, we need to revisit. And the three things on that list, and there may be more, are priorities, you know, family time. I think that's first priority, schoolwork, and then all your creative outlets and endeavors and joy, and say all these things are of value. And I just, it's kind of like the language I always use with the girls is it's my job to point these things out to you. Like not necessarily to control it. I mean, yes, we have rules that we agree upon, but we have to, as parents, keep coming back to our kids. If they're 3 and they're not putting their shoes away, if they're 10 and they're not remembering to bring a book to school, or if they're 13 and they keep getting on the computer, is we have to keep coming back. And we may say, but we've already done this. We got to keep doing it and do. And it sounds monotonous, but really that's exactly how it goes. And sometimes we're pleasantly surprised where things change quickly. But most of the time, you know, I've been telling my girls to not leave their shoes at the front door since they were 2. And right now I can see 3 pairs of shoes at the front door. Just, you know,
there's 4.
Like these are things I have to go back to and using fear or saying, and if you don't, I'll take your phone away. Doesn't make any sense. That doesn't translate into real life. It's just constant conversation, reminders, building that in sense of intrinsic value, you know, where he understands and feels that family time is important. We can't force that upon our kids, but we can remind them.
So this is the paradox, Judy. Everything Kathy just said, absolutely. You have to keep revisiting the conversation. While at the same time, I do think that there's an element of surrender, knowing that you really don't have complete control over your son's ability to engage or disengage from a screen. And if your son decided to say, you know what, mom, you're right, I'm going to start doing this, then you think your life will be perfect and happy and cozy, but then all of a sudden it's going to be something else. So I just want to balance that out with shifting some of your attention to the gratitude. Like, you have a son who's interested, and I'm sure there's a lot of parents right now that trade places with you in a second because their kid is playing Fortnite 8 hours a day. Your kid is actually using the creative part of his brain to do it. So I just want to like balance out some of the gratitude that you can bring to it. And anybody can bring gratitude to any situation. So
it's gratitude, boundaries, responsibility, discussion. It's probably everything you're doing, Judy. So maybe we could say to you, even though it feels uncomfortable or that you're doing something wrong, you're not. And some days when you're like, yeah, but yesterday I just let go, I didn't say anything. You know what?
There's some days
we
that
have
you just
those
let go.
Days and where it's like, wow, I did not put any restrictions today and I got to wind that back in. Like, a reel it in. Like I'm fishing.
I thought that was like a movie camera.
That could be a movie camera, but
that doesn't make any sense.
Well, then let's just make it
real. This is
you got to go
fishing.
Up like that. In my mind, I'm like, dude, I got to reel it in tomorrow because I got lost in my own. Like yesterday, we had family time during the day, and then I went down to my office at like 3, and I was down there till 7. Mm-hmm. I had to reel myself in, you know. And then I thought to myself, okay, you know, so this is a practice, and the more we can have a conversation with, it's kind of like the question before, we converse with our kids instead of with fear or with I'm hurting them or they're hurting themselves. Just conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to move over to Jacqueline.
Okay.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi.
What do you got?
Well, Matt and I have 3 kids together. So our oldest, Jude, lives with her mom on the other side of Canada. So she's with us. She was just with us this past Christmas time. And our first child together, Madeline, she's about 3.5. And then our second child, Oscar, he's going to be 2 in March. So they're all pretty little.
Yeah.
So Madeline's the middle child, I suppose. And sometimes she's the older sister without the older sister around. So it's a different dynamic for her. But the question, I guess, is about my triggers, our triggers more so surrounding her behaviors. So when it comes to things like tantrums about seemingly ridiculous things, I'm pretty good. I find we're both pretty good. I'm pretty good about breathing through that and staying calm and being present and being there for her to accept her emotions and help her work through them. I find that what seem to be more calculated acts that trigger me more. So for example, you know, if she is aggressive with her little brother or with one of us. I mean, Matt was just saying, what was it last night? She slapped you in the face or something. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you're having a beautiful moment with her and she'll do something seemingly out of the blue. I find that those things get me worked up more. So I'm looking for maybe support and how to help myself breathe and stay calm through those moments. And also, I mean, I understand that, like you were saying earlier, Kathy, you know, you can talk to kids at 3. I mean, she's well able to have a conversation, but she doesn't necessarily, if I ask her, what's going on with you right now? You know, what is it that you need? I mean, you're showing me, you know, she doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She doesn't know how to respond to that, mm-hmm. which I understand is beyond her development, but, mm-hmm. And she shows so much empathy in other times. Like if Oscar's upset, you know, she'll get him his panda that he loves, or she's got such beautiful character, but then these things that happen. And yeah, I understand that there's probably an underlying reason beyond, like, what is it that she needs maybe that we're not giving her? So it's kind of that part of it, but also myself, like, because I just get, I feel myself getting fired up by it. And I just, you know, I'm looking to set up an appointment with a therapist here in town or a psychologist, somebody to help me maybe work on my stuff, like my family of origin or something to help me figure out what's triggering me. But I thought since we had this group today, it's our first time joining, we're new members. So I thought I'd bring it up. Maybe there are other parents that deal with these same kinds of things.
Yes.
Awesome. So real quick, is that Matt?
Yes.
before we give our two cents, do you want to add anything? Or are you good?
No, I think she pretty much covered everything I could possibly have thought of.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
I'm going to let Kathy take it after I say a few things.
He tricked me. He goes, I'm going to let Kathy take it after.
First of all completely normal.
Yeah.
3.5-year-olds are trying to figure out where they are in the world, how they interact with others. And the fact that Matt got slapped in the face, yeah, that sucks. So no kidding, it's triggering. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes getting slapped in the face, especially this little piece of heaven who's so sweet to Oscar in one moment and then all of a sudden slaps Dad the next moment.
It's so confusing.
Yeah, it's
to us as parents.
Right. And it sucks. So I feel for you. But like she's just figuring out who she is in this world. I remember when my kids did the same thing. They'd slap me and I would literally gently hold their hand and say, gentle. I would show them what gentle means. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure Madeline knows what that means, but it's like Judy with her 15-year-old. It's like constant reminders. You're not going to wake up one day and all of a sudden Madeline's going to be like, oh, I get it. I'm not going to hit anymore. It's going to be gradual over a period of time. So
you almost forget that it happened.
And then we've done 49 of these end talks, and I'm sure there's been a lot of questions about physical hitting. I'll try to find some and put it in the show notes, but there's other moms and dads that have asked similar questions that I'll try to find and put it in the show notes, but you go ahead.
You know, I remember I wrote something when JC was 3 about how I would get so confused because she, just like you guys are describing your daughter, she's such a sweet, I mean, she's 15 now and she's so awesome. And I was just telling Todd this morning that she was like, because her sister was sick, she's like, okay, Mom, do you need me home early? Should we skip my guitar lesson? I'm like, no, like I can take care of both of you. But she's, I'm just saying that because when she was 3, she was so sweet and lovely like that. And occasionally she would be so mean, mm-hmm. either to her sister,
biting, hitting,
or to a friend at a play date. And it was so confusing to me because I'm like, okay, first of all, I'd be like, where's she learning that? As if there's like some mystical person in the closet that's like
whatever,
teaching her something. And I remember writing something about how I realized how she was just playing a lot of different roles. Like I remember we were like pretending she was doing Snow White or something with her friends and she wanted to be the mean witch. And that bothered me. I'm like, why would you want to be the mean witch? Don't you want to be Snow White? Not because of the way Snow White looks, but because of she's the protagonist. And JC was like, no, I want to be the mean one. And I was like, oh my God, what does this mean? They're trying on all different roles. Like they're trying, like, what is this result in? What does this feel like? And I think we do that our whole life, but it's a little more dramatic when they're that age, like where they can shift gears so quickly. And that this is especially with girls, this gets a little challenging because a lot of times the message we'll give girls is be nice, be nice, be nice, be nice, which is a good message in itself, but her anger or frustration or disappointment or whatever she's feeling in that moment before she slaps is valuable too. So we don't want to disregard it. And it doesn't sound like you guys are. It sounds like she slaps and you say, what are you feeling? Or ouch, that really hurt me. What are you trying to tell me? She may not be able to speak, as you said, like specifically and say, Mother, I'm feeling this way. But to even recognize that different emotions are okay, it doesn't mean it's okay to hit. It's never okay to hit. And like Todd said, we do the same thing with the girls, like hold their hand and be like, that hurts.
Yeah.
No,
that hurts. That,
and I would get very, there's no humor in those situations. That is a very serious, we're not going to do that. And, you know, because you did that, it tells me that you must be feeling overwhelmed by something. You can start to give them the language. She may not, it may not quite completely resonate with her. But I think what Todd and I both want to share with you is I'll go back to what you were saying. It's totally triggering. When our children hurt us or other kids or other adults, it's so upsetting because we still feel like they're an extension of us and it feels like it's something they were taught. It's just uncomfortable.
What about giving them different outlets? So one thing that we used to say a lot, we don't say it just because our kids are a little bit older, is there's nothing wrong with feeling angry. There's nothing wrong with feeling frustrated. There's nothing wrong with feeling sad. Mm-hmm. It's what are you going to do with those emotions? So maybe one of the things that you could do is you give her whatever, a pillow to punch in her bed or something like that. Just give her some sense of outlet to.
I never loved the punching pillow very much, just because you're hitting again.
I know, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, you're right. I mean, and Todd's not wrong. I think we did say those things to them, but one of the things that I really liked was, and I don't know if you guys have a basement, but Cameron, I think, uses, well, maybe JC uses too, but I would say, why don't you just go down in the basement and yell at the top of your lungs? Mm-hmm. Just yell. And it would be confusing at first, like they think I was setting them up some way, and I'd be like, just go yell. Like, and you know, you're right, Todd, like just pound on the floor, like just get it out. Because again, what we have to remember about emotions is that they literally, if you guys know this because we say it all the time, but they're energy in motion, mm-hmm. right? It's a feeling that needs to come through your body. It's not a decision like, mm-hmm. I think I'll feel mad. It's an energy that comes through. And so what's a way that we can give them to release it? Hitting, they're going to try it, and she'll probably try it again. Yep. That probably won't be your last experience. But then in that moment, it gives you an opportunity to discuss other things. JC got the opportunity to run outside when it was dark. She really, a three-year-old's not going to do that. But we kind of tried to be creative of how to, this emotion you're feeling is normal. It's part of being human. But we've got to find different ways, because the hitting is, it's not going to work. And we would always say, we don't do this in our family, mm-hmm. because she would have friends in preschool who would hit, and she'd be like, but so-and-so hit. And we'd be like, in our family, we don't do mm-hmm. that. So we didn't have to have the argument about, but other people do it. It's like, that's not for us.
So a few things. Millie said, isn't it Dan Siegel who says, name the feeling to tame it? So you name mm-hmm. it to tame it. So she's 3.5 years old, and maybe you're already doing that, Jacqueline and Matt. Maybe Google a visual chart of feelings for children that you can help her learn to use. Another yep. good idea, Millie. And Aaron says, we're in a similar boat. We try to say it's okay to feel it. It's not okay to hit. Overall, it's hard, frustrating, exhausting. Staying calm and not getting triggered is so hard. We also have them go to the basement and use their beanbags to slide across the floor. Great. For human bowling, a fun way to get aggression out. I'm going to unmute Jacqueline and Matt and see what you think.
Yeah, thank you. Those are all good suggestions. And when you said punching the pillow, that reminded me, because one of her issues too is she might kick, like maybe we're all like playing in the bed or something, she might kick somebody, and I'll say, kick the mattress. Like, you can slam your feet down on the mattress, you know. So we have, I thought of that in the past. It's good. And I've read Dan Siegel's books, The Whole Brain Child and No Drama Discipline. So it's, I think they need to just kind of constantly be reading them or something, because it's, I feel like I do better when I'm reading them, and then yeah. the chapters remind me every day, because you just forget. But I think like it's hard sometimes because she does it in like nice moments. So like you guys would have been playing last night, right? Playing with your Paw Patrol toys or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you're having a beautiful moment, and then out of nowhere, this happens. So it's yeah. like, it's obviously, I guess, is it aggression living inside of her that just comes out, even though she's not up, seemingly not upset? We can't tell, and that there's any actual upset. It's not visible except for the fact that this aggression comes out. It's just a very interesting dynamic.
Well, and a 3.5, right?
Yeah. And when you think about energy, especially of a 3.5-year-old's day, because she's just learning the words for it, and you're just learning to name things for her, and she's just beginning to have these relationships with you guys where she can be, because again, 2 or 3, you know, I always say to parents that 3 and 13 are very similar times, because that's when they're separating from you and individuating. So it's like those are big brain development times. 3, so she can have mind changes like that. Like, wait, I'm your left arm. No, I'm my own person. I need your help. Don't let me do it myself. She's changing like that constantly. 13-year-olds have a similar experience. Well, they'll be like, mommy, help me. And then they'll be like, don't force me to do stuff, you know, like it's, and for us, like you said, it's confusing, it's triggering, but understanding, you know, one thing I was going to say is, you know, how you said you want to read the books all the time. And you don't have to make vision boards, but I sometimes, if I'm really struggling or dealing with a specific issue, I write the things out on a piece of paper and tape it to my mirror. Like, remember this, so you don't have to feel like you constantly have to be reading the book. You just get the points and you just start to practice them and hammer them. And then she starts hearing the same thing from you, you know, and that, yes, it, and you yeah, can,
that's where their refrigerator charts are good for that too, probably, yes. you know, yes. how they have those in the back of the books. I should probably photocopy it and put it up somewhere, just as a daily reminder.
Well, and I would just like to invite you to balance out the knowledge, which I go to books when I get confused or stuck. with the practice, because really this is your ability to stay calm in a situation that is not very calm.
It's unnerving.
So yeah. This is, you know, it's like we always, Kathy and I are always like, it's never about the kid. It's all about us. Like what is, we don't have any control over the kid. I used to say to Kathy, like, you know, Kathy, you write these books, we do this podcast. Wouldn't you be worried if we were in the grocery store and our kid melted down? And you're like, no, of course not. Why would I? I'm like, well, you're the parenting whatever. And you're like, I would be worried if I would go nuts on the kid, but we have no control over our 3-year-old's meltdown, 3-year-old's hit. This is like, how do we
respond?
How do we respond to it? That's the work. Madeline is going to get this. Maybe it's tomorrow or maybe it's in a year. It doesn't matter. But the challenge is always looking inward. Like, how am I showing up to this? And, you know, if Matt's around and you can't deal with it, tag out. We always tag out. Like, I don't have the energy for this. If he's there, then use it. And same goes to Matt.
Or join in. Like last night when she hit Matt, you know, to say, hey, mom, come down and join us. We want to talk about this. Like sometimes I feel like just having the two together, it's not about ganging up on her. It's about saying, that's confusing. We were having a good time. And, you know, and having kind of a conversation to all three of you. It doesn't have to last that long. It's not a lecture. It's about, let's address this. And also, you know, you guys are, and I just want to say you're 95% of the way there because you're already looking at it through a lens of I'm triggered. Yeah. This is confusing. We want to support her. You know, you're already noticing the dynamics of her being, I think it isn't irrelevant. It is relevant that she's sometimes the middle and sometimes the oldest. Not that it's a bad or good thing, but it's confusing to her, right? She's like, I'm not quite, see how she's still playing roles? Like, who am I in this situation? Am I in charge? And so she's going to play act that with you guys sometimes too. The fact that you're aware of all that, you have so much room and space to practice, you know, what you want to practice.
Yeah, the fact that you're asking these questions tells us that you are good. You're dealing with it quite well. Mm-hmm. Most parents, you know, whatever, go to Target or go to Walmart or go somewhere where you see a parent go nuts on a kid for not doing anything. Those are the people that really need to take a deep dive into self-acceptance. The fact that you're asking these questions, just trust yourself.
Yeah.
That's really what we're saying. Before I go to Liz, Jacqueline and Matt, any closing thoughts?
Well, of course, I could talk all day. It's just me. But one more thing I think is relevant too. We spend a lot of time away from her. We're at work right now. We both work Monday to Friday. Like we have a commute. So that's a factor too. It's all, like you guys said, it's about being aware of all these things and we do the best we can, but thank you.
You bet. And you know what I'll say to that, Jacqueline, a lot of times about being away from her and working, which is exactly, that's what you guys are doing and that's okay. That's what you should be doing. You work, you know, this is part of this is the way our family operates. And she may miss you and that's okay. That doesn't mean something's wrong. It means these two things live side by side. And so if you're feeling that way, you know, you're like, I think that she wants to see us more, even bringing that up. You know, do you miss me during the day?
Yeah, give her an opportunity.
Yeah, give her an opportunity to say that.
To let some of that out. If it, you know, maybe that's not it, but
it may not be. That may not be the thing that's going on with her at all. Maybe something that you have no idea. But it's not. And I don't even know that anything's going on with her. Mm-hmm. I just think she's growing up. But if I sometimes think, open the can of worms.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't mean you have to not work. It means we actually talk about these things. We actually say, I miss you. You miss me. This is, and then once that's out. It, you know, we can't keep our kids from missing us, but once they're able to express it, it's helpful to everybody.
And the other thing, as Millie says in her post, in her chat, she says, the other thing I'm reminded of right now is to realize that this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. As Rob Bell says, it's a season. It's so hard in the moment to think, but if I'm able to be present, I will realize that the current challenge will pass. And that's the truth. You got a whole nother set of challenges when your kid is 6 and then 12 and 16.
But yeah, it will pass. And like I said, we said before, is all of a sudden you'll get past it and you won't even remember how you got past it.
Yeah.
But you will have paid attention to it, which will be, you know, helping with her emotional development. You know, sometimes when we say this too will pass, sometimes people are like, oh, I can avoid it and not deal with it. No, we pay attention. But it develops our own emotional well-being. So,
all right, I'm moving over to Liz.
Okay.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, everyone. Hi. So I really needed that last one from Millie. So thank you. This too shall pass. We're kind of in the middle. You know, I have an 18-year-old who, you know, they say she's an adult and she's not. So she just went back to school and we're in the midst of a total meltdown. It's her second semester and she's, you know, calling me saying that she's going to withdraw and come home and lots of anxiety, a little bit of depression going on in there. So there's a lot. So I'm not asking for any answers because I know that there really are none. She wants me to have the answers.
I know.
And I don't know how to help her.
No.
I know.
So sorry.
Please. No.
I just don't know how to help her, you know? Yes. Yeah. I mean, I do. I'm supporting her. I'm going to go see her. You know, I'll be there. But it's really hard not to, because she wants me to tell her what to do. And that's even harder because she's 18 and I don't want to tell her what to do. So I don't know. I'm just looking for some support. Oh. A couple words. Yes. Not too much.
I got some words, but it looks like Todd has words.
It's what sucks about parenting older kids, and Liz, you're a little bit further ahead than our oldest is 15, so you have an 18-year-old. When they're 5 or 10 or 2, you can pretty much do something to make them feel better. And now your 18-year-old is becoming a young adult, mm-hmm. and the problems become more challenging. And, you know, I think every year that passes, we have to be a little bit more, less control. We have to surrender a little bit more.
Release
their life to them. And as you know, Liz, because I know you listen to the podcast all the time, you are not you can't snap your fingers and fix this. You are going to, the best thing you can do is not plummet down with her. Mm-hmm. She's battling some anxiety or depression or whatever it is. And it's not going to serve her if you're in that same place. You need to be a beacon of stability. You need to remind her that she will get through this. You remind her that, you know, depression actually isn't that bad of a thing. We demonize it, but it's her body's way of kind of processing through something. Slowing
her down
a little bit. There's actually some gifts with depression. I know that's so counterintuitive, but the more I listen.
Don't ever say that to a depressed person.
Right.
But it's a hindsight thing.
Right. Thank you, sweetie. Mm-hmm. But the more that I learn about anxiety and depression, it's the body's way of bringing something into your awareness that needs to be addressed. So Agreed. That's my two cents.
Agreed. I was going to say that, it's something I taught this morning and something I say to my college students all the time, because they're becoming clinicians and social workers, is I say, really, when people come to us for help, they think that they want us to give them the answers, but really their health and healing comes through us listening and reminding them that they have everything they need, that we are always with them, backing them, supporting them. We've got our hand on their back, metaphorically, meaning we're gonna help them, but we help them by reminding them they have what they need. And just the fact that she can call you, even though I know you're like, but I'm not enjoying every call I'm getting, the fact that she can call you and say, here's all my feelings, I'm afraid, I'm anxious, that is health. And telling her that, say, I know this feels overwhelming, and reminding her there aren't any answers to this. Like, an 18-year-old wants simple answers. You know, that's what we tell kids all the time in school, is that there's an answer to this. There's an answer to this. But emotional well-being is just expression, support, and trust, faith, you know, whatever words you like to use. But she's healing by speaking out loud. She's not healing. You know what would be enjoyable to watch again, Liz, and Todd will put it in the notes. Remember the little video that someone made for Brené Brown of the difference between empathy and sympathy? And she talks about this really well, about the way that we support people is not through what we say. It's by connecting with the feeling they're having. And like Todd said, it doesn't mean you have to go down and live it with her. It's saying, that feeling you're expressing, I've had it too. I know that feeling. And instead of healing it or solving it, you're connecting with her, because all she wants to know is, are these things I'm feeling normal? Am I going to be okay? And again, remember the definition of okay is not
joyful,
or you're going to stay at school for 4 years and everything's going to be perfect. You don't know, but is she going to be okay no matter what? Yes. She, whatever step she takes, like my friend Annie Burnside, who you guys know, she, one of her daughters, went to college, her middle daughter, and she went to not too far in Loyola. And in the first semester, she kept calling, same thing, Liz, and saying, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. And she ended up moving home for a while and going to school in a different way. Eventually, after what, 6 months, 8 months, she took her own time. She went, you know, did what she needed to do. She went back to school and then eased into things slowly, did a camp for 2 weeks, did all these things. And this semester, she's in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Doing, and I'm telling you that story, not because your daughter's going to have the exact same experience, but if you would have told Annie 2 years ago that her daughter was going to make it at school, she would have said, Kathy, I don't know. And she didn't make it the way that they thought she would, the way her older daughter did. You know, her older daughter went to school, no problem, went through the 4 years. It was different, and that's okay too. Doesn't have to look the same.
I want to ask Liz a quick question. So Liz, if I were in your position, I would be like, the answer is somewhere in the middle, but there's part of me would be like, fuck up. This is the time you get to be an adult. And this is the time you get to show your resilience. And the opposite of that is, you know what, sweetie, come home. Come home right now and let me nurture.
The dichotomy.
Yeah.
And either buck up or come home. And there's somewhere.
So do you find yourself navigating through those two extremes?
I think it's, yeah, myself and my husband are both navigating through those two extremes. You know, he's like on a train, he's on a train on a way home, you know? So mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we're struggling with what school should look like. And yes. She is even struggling with that. She said, I'm not the kid that doesn't go to school. You know, I'm not that girl. And so, you know, she's just struggling so much with that I don't even need to put that on my plate because, you know, I just want her to be, and not happy, because that's not, you know, because we're not all happy all the time. I just want her to be okay. Mm. And, you know, it's just, so yeah, I think her dad's really going with, you know, if she doesn't finish, then it's going to limit her options. And I don't really think it is. I think it can look very different and still be okay. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to help him with that. And it's really hard to help her with that, which I find interesting because she's the one going through it, you know? So it's just an interest. And don't get me wrong, I'm not nervous because I'm nervous, you know, it's going to look different and it worries me. But mm-hmm. for me, it's just, she just needs to be in a place where she feels that she's okay. You know, that's most important.
I would remind her how strong, it's not easy to divulge this information to strangers or parents. Like, the fact that she has the courage to express that she is struggling is a strength. Whereas a lot of other kids mm-hmm. who get depressed, like, I don't want to disappoint mom and dad, so I'm just going to hold it all inside. And then it's going to come out sideways some other way. So just make sure you remind her, like, these are very courageous moments that she's sharing with you. And that should be blessed. It should be acknowledged. That should be nurtured.
These are life building blocks. This is the story she's going to tell 10 years from now. It's just when you're in the midst of it, you know, it's kind of like that. When we talk about darkness and how darkness actually, you know, that Mary Oliver quote that I love so much, you know, the darkness is a gift. But we don't know that till years later. That's part of the quote. Like, when you're in the midst of it, it's just hard and it's a struggle, but this is a life building block. And her experience may look different. And that's what you guys are, that's the discomfort you're in and that she's in. Like she even said to you, I'm not the girl who doesn't go to school. This is supposed to look a certain way. But that's a created,
right,
you know, structure in our mind that society has given us. There's a million different ways to get a college degree. There's, you know, people are now doing things, and I'm not suggesting this, but, you know, like things like gap years and starting later and, you know, or doing it online or doing it from home. Like, there's a world that is open to her.
And I would encourage her to, I would invite her to let go of that label. Like, I'm not the kid who, whatever. There is no definition of who she is.
Yeah.
She could change courses in any direction she wants, just like us adults can. It's called being a human being. And the minute that she labels herself as something, then she might hold herself to this fake standard of being. And
well, it's probably part of her struggle already. Yeah. Is she's thinking to herself, it shouldn't be this way, but it is. So I'm failing. And it is just a way it is. And we don't know, like, we don't know what the next steps will be. And the thing that you're sitting in, Liz, which none of us like, is uncertainty.
Yep.
What's this going to look like? I don't know what to say next. I don't know when the next phone call is coming. I don't know how this schooling thing is going to, you know, bear out, what it's going to look like. And uncertainty sucks. Like, yep, when our kids go to college, we're like, 4 years, you know, enjoy, do the things I did. Right. Bye. I did my job. And when they call, and they're like, no, this isn't what I thought. We're like, wait a second. We had a deal. Mm-hmm. We had a 0 to 18-year-old deal that you were not aware of, but I had already signed on to. And you know, that's the funny thing is I was listening to an interview with, this is so random, but it was like Dr. Phil and Dax Shepard. And Dr. Phil's sons are like in their 30s. And he was saying, dude, I'm parenting all the time. He's like, it just looks different.
And that's Dr. Phil.
That's Dr. Phil.
Who's awesome. A few things. Jacqueline said something my mom always said that I appreciated in difficult times was that everything will be okay.
Yes.
I always felt supported by her in those moments. So that's wonderful advice, Jacqueline. Helen, I'm pretty sure I haven't clicked on this clip, but I think it's the Brené empathy sympathy thing. So I'll put that in the show notes. Sean says, my middle daughter went to school and left after a semester, re-enrolled 6 months later, and she'll be graduating in May.
Sean, perfect example. Thank you.
And Millie says, sounds like she's struggling with the shoulds in her head. Mm. So that's all wonderful thoughts. So
yeah. And just remember, Liz, because this was really your question, you're not supposed to have the answer. I wouldn't either. I would have no answers. I would say the things that everybody here said to my girls. I also love it when people tell me I'm going to be okay. I even have to sometimes direct Todd to say, just tell me I'm going to be okay. Like, I just want, because the thing is we are going to be. It's just like everybody said, it's the thoughts in our head that tell us this could go south. But the truth is, it could go different than we expected, but that's okay. It doesn't have to be this, we're still going to be all right. Mm. My daughter was up throwing up last night all night and
12 times.
And she was on like time 7 and she's like, I have to stop doing this. And I said, you know what? Your body will stop eventually, but I will be with you and you're going to be okay through this whole thing. So it kind of just relaxed her system. It still wasn't fun for anybody in this house.
No.
And that's different. Than
yoga with Sean this morning.
Blame Skylar. So Liz, I know that's different. I'm not trying to compare. It's just the feeling.
Oh, no.
You're not alone. And we, if I think of some things, I'm going to email you some good like quotes to put on your mirror to remember.
Speaking of quotes, sweetie, I'm not going to read it, but Millie was at 1440 this weekend and she's coming up with a poem called Wild Geese.
I love Wild Geese.
Mary Oliver. So I'll put that in the show notes as well. I haven't read it, but I'm sure it's powerful with Millie sharing it.
We did a show about it.
We did?
Yeah.
I don't remember what we do shows on.
It was like 2 years ago, but I always loved the beginning of it because you do not have to be good.
You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves, and so on and so forth.
You do not have to be good. We always think we have to be good all the time.
No. Being bad's kind of fun anyway.
And we don't even have to be bad. We're just not always doing it right. No, you're not bad.
I'm the bad boy, sweetie.
You're not the bad. Sorry. You're not a bad boy.
I'm the bad boy, sweetie. See, look at me. So we did a podcast today that I'm kind of proud of about masculinity. We have a conference coming up in 6 weeks, something like that.
Yes. And I want to tell some of you, because some of you have been on my email list, those of you who are coming to the conference, about the rooms for the conference. And hopefully I've emailed back to most of you, but Sean and Todd and I are working on getting an extended block, like getting more rooms. And for now, if you got a room and it's not in the block, meaning you're paying full price, hold that room. And if we get a block, an extended block, then get a room from the block. And if you get it, then cancel your old room. Does that make sense?
So basically cover yourself.
So basically I just want you to have a room, but if we get a block, reserve a room and then cancel the old room. So I know I'm getting emails from people and I will be in touch. Todd and Sean and I are working on this week to figure out what we can do for you. That's that. And we love you guys. These are really, really great
questions, challenges.
They, no matter what the age of our kids, they all apply to all of us. It made me think about so many things in my own life. So thank you for sharing. And That's it. We love you.
So thanks to Judy, to Jacqueline and Matt, to Peggy, to Millie, to Erin, to Lindsay, to Liz, to Helen, to Karen, to Anita, and anybody else who happened to be
on. And to Todd Adams.
And to Todd Adams. Judy wants to, if she can get on the list for that additional room.
Oh, okay. So that would be 11 we need, Sean and Todd. Judy, I'll put you on that list.
Judy, do you want for just one night or two nights?
Friday or Friday and Saturday?
Just
two, please.
Okay. So there. So I'll put her on the list.
For those of you guys who don't know what we're talking about, we do an annual conference and just go to our website to learn more. So that's it. So special thanks to all you. Oh, and I want to say thank you to a few other people. These are people that renewed for the whole year.
Oh.
So obviously it shows that they, you know, believe in what Team Zen is all about. To Millie, to Peggy, to Sue Kilbride, Patty Harlem Poudis, Amanda Martinez, Lauren Burke, Angela, I can't read my own
Jennifer.
Writing. Angela McGuire, Jennifer Rocco, John Steele. They're all people who renewed for the entire year. You actually save a month by doing it that way. So anyways, I just wanted to, because this is all brand new to us. This is our first anniversary of Team Zen.
And at the conference, we're going to have a Team Zen table.
Yeah.
You guys are, if you're coming to the conference, you're going to get lots of like love.
Yeah. I'm going to get some goodies. So.
And some lunch.
All right, guys. Love you. Love you lots.
We'll
Zen
be in
talk
touch.
In about 2 weeks. Not sure when. Be well.
Okay.
Adios. Stop recording.